The Twitter deal today got put on ice. I'm David Brancaccio. Twitter's biggest shareholder just put his $44 billion plan to buy Twitter on hold, at least for now. Elon Musk said this morning he wants more info about the number of Twitter accounts that are fake, something a government filing puts at less than 5%. Market participants are puzzled and may see this as Musk losing enthusiasm for the deal, but Musk has followed up now saying he's still committed to the acquisition, but Twitter stock is down 11% now. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell has been confirmed for another four-year term as he leads the fight to knock down rampant inflation by slowing the economy. In an interview with Marketplace's Guy Rizdahl yesterday, Powell said he's prepared to do whatever it takes to pull inflation down to safe levels and would not rule out future interest rate increases larger than the quarter or half a percentage point increases that most expect. I asked Kai why he thought Powell agreed to talk to Marketplace at this moment.
I think it's what he said at the beginning of his most recent meeting. He took a very distinct pause at the top. You know, the way it works is the Fed chair comes out, he reads a statement, and then he takes questions. Last week, Powell came out, said, "Thank you very much for being here," took a beat, looked straight at the camera, and he said, "I want to speak directly to the American people," which is not something Fed chairs usually do.
You know, most of the people who listen to the press conference and follow our communications very carefully are market participants or economists, Fed watchers of various kinds. And I thought it was important to try to speak directly to the public that we serve and tell them that we understand that inflation is very painful, that the Fed is accountable to get inflation down to 2%, and that we have the tools and we have the strong desire to get inflation under control, and we'll do that.
And I think what he sees in an opportunity to sit down with somebody like me who's going to ask him regular questions instead of, you know, bond yield questions is a chance for people to understand why and how he's doing what he's doing.
Marketplace's Guy Rizdahl, thank you. The full interview with Powell is at marketplace.org. The U.S. and its allies are discussing innovative ways to stabilize oil prices that are crazy high as the world economy booms and after Russia launched its war on Ukraine. President Biden met this week with Italy's Prime Minister Mario Draghi, and Draghi says they discussed banding together against oil producers to form maybe some kind of buyer's co-op. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is here with more.
Well, David, the official White House readout at the meeting says Biden and Draghi discussed reshaping global energy markets. Draghi told reporters he brought up the idea of creating a cartel of oil consumers as a counterweight to OPEC. Draghi says the buyer's cartel could use its market power to bargain with oil producers and convince them to increase production. But OPEC has refused requests to pump more crude after Russia invaded Ukraine.
Is there anything like a buyer's cartel now?
Well, there is the International Energy Agency. It was established in the 1970s to respond to disruptions in the oil supply after an oil embargo. But it has trouble even agreeing on basic things like coordinating releases of oil from countries' stockpiles.
But is a buyer's co-op real or far-fetched?
Well, consider this, David. First of all, it would be difficult just to get something like this up and running. And Draghi admitted support in the European Union for a buyer's cartel is, quote, not unanimous.
Tech tycoon Elon Musk said this morning his deal to buy Twitter is on hold for now amid questions about the scale of fake Twitter accounts. Musk was fixing to buy his favorite social media platform and take it off the stock market to revamp it. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
David, analysts are meeting Musk's claim this morning with skepticism among their reactions that Musk is trying to back out of the deal, that he never had the full funding in place, or that he's trying to negotiate a lower price. Musk's deal to buy Twitter is valued at $44 billion. All we know is he put out a short tweet very early this morning about wanting more information to back up Twitter's claim that less than 5% of its users are spam or fake accounts. Musk's tweet linked to a news article that's 11 days old. And then about 2 hours later this morning, Musk tweeted again and said he's still committed to the acquisition, seemingly trying to respond a bit to the skepticism that's out there, David.
I mean, this raises the question, why is he doing this now? If he needed more routine data, why make such a big deal and put the whole deal on ice?
Right. So that's the mystery. Musk has talked about wanting to get rid of spam bots on Twitter. So I guess we'll need some explanation of how many he thought Twitter had and why the change now. It's worth noting that Musk has had a host of legal setbacks this week. A key one, the Wall Street Journal reported that regulators are looking into the timing of when Musk started buying up Twitter shares and when he disclosed his purchases. There's already a shareholder lawsuit over this. Now, in any case, David, if he backs out of this deal, Musk will have to pay a $1 billion termination fee.
After the lockdowns, gambling is back. In-person, online, sports betting revenue set an all-time record in March, $5.3 billion, according to the American Gaming Association. Here's Marketplace's Kristen Schwab.
During the pandemic, casinos across the U.S. became COVID testing sites and vaccination centers. Now they're back to blackjack and slot machines.
All that is happening.
Jerry Del Pret is the COO of gaming at Fertitta Entertainment, which operates Golden Nugget casinos. He says so far this year, revenue is exceeding 2019. That's pre-pandemic. Customers are spending more per trip, and visitors are skewing younger.
But what's not come back in full force is our 50-plus crowd.
That's not the industry's only worry. Bill Miller is the CEO of the American Gaming Association.
The industry rebounded and showed its resilience. But the question of whether that pent-up demand would kind of run out or slow down, I think is still an open question.
Especially if people are more cautious with discretionary spending.
Anybody in any business that is in the travel, leisure, and hospitality space should be somewhat concerned about things like inflation, about gas prices.
But history is on the industry side. Brett Abarbanel at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas International Gaming Institute says gambling has been pretty recession-proof.
These sin industries, so things like gambling, alcohol, they can weather economic storms in a fairly straightforward way because people like spending money on things that, you know, it makes them feel good.
Plus, gambling is more accessible than ever. Abarbanel says in the last few years, online gambling has become legal in more than 30 states. So brick-and-mortar casinos like Hard Rock Atlantic City are getting into online gaming too. Joe Lupo is the casino's president.
So you can be in Hoboken or Jersey City and play online and earn rewards to be able to then come down here to Hard Rock Atlantic City and stay overnight, go see a show.
Because for resorts, revenue is more than just gambling. It's dinner and drinks. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are Jay Siebold and Jessen Dueler. Intern is Jarrett Dang. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.